You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. Well, was it a major gaffe for which our ambassador to China should be fired? Or was it part of our government's strategy for handling the fallout from our arrest of Meng Wanzhou, the CFO of Huawei, at the request of the Americans? Well, 2 days ago, Ambassador John McCallum had a press conference for Chinese language media only. He said he thought Meng had a strong case to fight the extradition request or to beat it, and he laid out exactly what that case would be. Have a listen.
One, political involvement by comments from Donald Trump in her case. Two, there's an extraterritorial aspect to her case. And three, there's the issue of Iran sanctions, which are involved in her case, and Canada does not sign on to these Iran sanctions.
So, given that all our government keeps saying is that we are following the legal process, these comments were extremely undiplomatic, to say the least. Commentators are saying McCallum has put Canada in an impossible situation. The Conservatives are calling for him to be fired. And to remind everyone, since Meng's arrest, the Chinese have detained two Canadians, and they are being held in very tough conditions. And the Chinese also abruptly retried a convicted drug dealer and increased his sentence from 15 years to the death penalty. So what do you make of all of this? Numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. And right now we are going to Lynette Ong, a professor of political science and an expert on China at the Meng School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto, and Chuck Kwan with the Toronto Association for Democracy in China. Welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Lynette Ong, what is your theory about this?
So I think Ambassador McCallum's statements to the Chinese media in Toronto are considered inappropriate, not something that one would usually expect from an ambassador. But, you know, we are at an unprecedented time. I think it calls for unconventional thinking and solutions to get us out of this mess. I think the premise of Meng's case is a violation of sanctions against Iran. So it's actually not something that is against Canadian law. So it's not in our national interest to arrest her or to detain her. We did it at the request of the U.S. authorities, right? So I think the bigger backdrop of this case is the technology war going on between the United States and China. And the Chinese side very much saw the arrest as U.S. attempt to try to contain China's growth as a technology superpower. And we are helping the U.S. to do the act, and which is why they see us as being, you know, betraying them.
But Ms. Ong, do you see this as that the government kind of told John McCallum or decided with him that he would say these things to kind of have a backdoor way of making it better with the Chinese? Or do you think he just went off on this by himself?
No. So I see this as part of a coordinated or orchestrated act by the government. A couple of days ago, our ambassador to Washington, D.C., said to the Americans that we are very angry with you. We bear the brunt of the cost of the case. So I think this is all part of the coordinated strategy by our government to get out of this situation. Because, you know, the prime minister or the foreign minister couldn't possibly say this thing to the public. Right. But, you know, the ambassador could do some freelancing at the site, even though it's considered very inappropriate. But I think he had taken a personal risk to do so. It is a sign of desperation on the part of our government. But I think it's a creative strategy to get us out of this situation, which I see no solution to it otherwise.
Yeah, and it's interesting that just today, in the Maritimes, I believe, the Prime Minister said, no way am I firing the ambassador, because, you know, if you read the press, you know, the commentators in the major newspapers are all annoyed with him. The opposition is saying, fire the guy. So, you know, that would give credence to your view, Ms. Ong. Chuck Kwan, what do you think?
I agree with Annette. I think this is a clearly coordinated strategy. You just have to look at how he presented this press conference. It was directly only to the Chinese Canadian press and not to anybody else. I know the Globe and Mail reported on it. They must have read the Chinese press. So it's clearly a message directed not to the Canadian public, but to the Chinese government itself. And they think that that would be the best way to pass a message on to China. Now, having said that, I think I agree that it is unusual and probably improper for a diplomat. And I believe that McCollum is such a seasoned diplomat and politician that he would not be doing it on his own. This is clearly a coordinated strategy. However, I think, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures, and I believe that the government, our government, is trying to not only lower the tension, but also to make sure that we protect our Canadian citizens abroad. So, in a sense, we have kind of fallen into the whole bullying tactics that China has employed.
Interesting things about all of this. So I know that John McCallum was giving other off-the-record briefings, you know, to people like experts, where media was deliberately excluded. In this day and age, I find it hard to believe that anyone would actually think that what was said in there would actually stay private. And in terms of the press conference with the Chinese media only, I mean, you know, they're we have all the clips from it. I'm not sure what they were thinking, that it wouldn't get out. You know, that strategy doesn't seem useful.
So I don't think they intentionally exclude mainstream media to the conference, but it is part of a calibrating certain messages to a targeted audience, right? So by inviting only Chinese media to the press conference, I think he wanted to signal that this is a message specifically to the Chinese community, and please relay the message back to Beijing. And in the press conference, McCollum also said that he is aware that President Xi is personally upset by the arrest. So, you know, taken all in all, I think we should interpret this as the government here saying to the Chinese authorities that, look, you have been barking up the wrong tree. If you have a problem with this case, take it up with the U.S., because it was at the U.S. initiative, and only the U.S. government could do something to release Meng Wanzhou.
Okay, I'd like to give the numbers out again, because I'd like to hear what our audience has to say about this, if in fact it is a tactic by the government to kind of diffuse the tension and you know, have a concession to China. Most people over the last few weeks think, you know, there should be somewhat of a hard line with them. The numbers, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. You know, beyond this particular little episode, and it's clear that the government is standing by John McCallum at this point. The one thing, Chuck, I would dispute, I don't know how seasoned a diplomat is. This was his first diplomatic posting. You know, I kind of know him going back to when he was chief economist for the Royal Bank, and he was a guy who spoke his mind, to say the least. So,
yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't a guy to, you know, weigh his words very carefully. Let's put it that way. But, you know, beyond all this, you know, the interpretation that people have is that just in general, in the context of this U.S. administration, they're kind of throwing us to the dogs. We're on our own. And the consequences will be felt with China. The consequences will be felt with Russia as well. You know, do you think that we are in a perilous situation, Lynette Ong?
Very, very perilous situation. So so we are in a completely different era as far as geopolitics is concerned, right? So we are dealing with two bullies, not only one, but two bullies on both sides, and we are stuck in between a rock and a hard place. We cannot afford to really offend any side. So which is why I think part of this orchestrated strategy is to have different parts of the government going out to the relevant constituencies, saying different things that catered to the relevant audience. And after McCollum's statement, Prime Minister Trudeau trying to distance from that. And I think that's all part of the strategy of trying to temper or to moderate what the ambassador has said, because the government as a whole has to you know, stand by our national interests.
I think there's also a silver lining to this. I see that there's a quite a, you know, big reaction from the public and the press about what we shouldn't have done. And this shows that Canadians are standing up and saying, look, you know, respect our rule of law. Forget about China being a bully. We need to stand up for our own. So in that sense, I'm heartened by the fact that, like the Globe and Mail had an editorial about that China shows its true face. I'm heartened by the public reaction to it. Now, I agree with Annette. This is all part of the calculated bad cop kind of way of dealing with China, and that's inevitable.
Okay, let's hear from Dave in King City. Hi, Dave.
Hi, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Yes, you're right.
Sorry. I'm right.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know, I agree that the ambassador, this isn't an off-the-cuff strategy or comment by the ambassador. I believe that this is an orchestrated and well-thought-out attempt to try to send a message that through the legal process that there will be a very due diligence applied, and that there are very plausible and possible defenses against extradition, and that this may be the way out of a very difficult situation in which we were probably extremely unwise to have ever gotten into. I don't believe that the government was taken by surprise by the press conference yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, we can all sign on to that one. But, you know, in terms of the process, I mean, that's an international agreement that we arrest people for extradition. But I can imagine, I mean, the thought that we are bearing the brunt of doing that and Donald Trump might trade her freedom for, you know, trade concessions, it's pretty mind-boggling.
Oh, it is, and Donald Trump is a wild card, to say the least. But I do think, you know, some of the people that I've read would have indicated that in these types of legal proceedings, that timing is at the discretion of the legal authorities, and that sometimes discretion is the better part of valor.
Okay, Dave, thanks very much for your call.
Okay, have a great day.
Okay. Lynette, you know, one of the things that Ambassador McCollum said early on in his visit here was that the two Michaels are being held in very, very tough conditions, almost torture, that the lights are on 24 hours a day. They're interrogated 4 hours a day. Do you foresee any of that being lessened? And of course, we have the convicted drug dealer who is suddenly facing the death sentence.
I think that really depends on the Chinese perception of our role in the arrest of Meng Wanzhou, which is why I think McCollum and the government as a whole did what they have done lately. I think, you know, the two Michael's conditions, they are not untypical of people who have been detained. So they have been detained in extra-legal facilities called black jails in China, which means it's not in proper jails. And the conditions could get a lot worse. The fact that that lights on consular access, it's definitely inhumane. It defies, you know, all the human rights conventions. But in the Chinese context, this is not untypical. And whether or not it will get better, I think next couple of weeks, the extradition of Meng Wanzhou will have a lot to. It is very much related to Meng Wanzhou's fate as well.
Okay, and just before we let you go, Lynette Ong, when this all started, people we talked to think that the two Michaels, this was before the change in Mr. Schellenberg's sentence, that the two Michaels were going to be there for a very long time. Do you still think that's the case?
I really hope not. I don't think it's in the Chinese interest to detain them forever or for a long time. I think the purpose is to show Canada that they have the strength, they have the coercive power to coerce us into doing something. And if we could manipulate ourselves through the situation by deflecting the blame to the U.S., which started the whole thing in the first place, I think there's a chance that we can actually get out of this. But just let me say one last thing.
Sure.
I think it is very, very important for our government to tell China and the world that the rule of law in this country will not be compromised. This is something that we cannot compromise. The government cannot absolutely intervene in court decision. And what McCollum said is considered very inappropriate for an ambassador, but I don't think it actually amounts to intervention in court decision. So I think this is a careful strategy. But I also want to kind of remind your listeners and the government that we cannot tell the Chinese or the rest of the world that the rule of law can be compromised in this country. Otherwise, we are going down a very slippery slope.
Okay. Lynette Ong, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. And Chuck, you are going to remain with us for a few more minutes.
Sure.
I want a sense of, what Lynette said, that we have to send a strong message that we aren't just going to bow to what the Chinese want. Is there a big division in the Chinese-Canadian community about, how to deal with this government?
I think the majority of the Chinese Canadians obviously are with the with the Canadian government in the sense of being strong. And if you take the case of the most recent arrest of a Australian citizen of Chinese descent in China just a few days ago, you can see that China is trying to flex its muscle. And here I want just to point out to your audience is that a lot of the people in the press or the general public thinks that China doesn't understand Canadian independence of judiciary and so forth. I think that's wrong. I think Chinese are very capable of understanding what we are all about. What they are doing right now in the last few months is basically picking on the weak, and they sense that Canada is weak, not only politically, financially, but also in terms of will. So in that sense, they rather tangle with Justin Trudeau than Donald Trump, and pick Canada to blame on this, hoping that we'll get to Donald Trump. So in that sense, I think we're being used, which is not surprising. As I also said before, we're caught between a rock and a hard place.
Okay, let's take one more call. We've got John in Oshawa. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Great, thanks. I think in a couple instances, it could have been a preemptive strike long ago when Trump made his comment about, possible trade relief on the sanctions. So with China, as an exchange for her, and right away, As a boxing coach, I teach you to take a punch, but give one right away. And we could have punched back right away and said, all right, we'll do the same. But in the reality of it, his comment wasn't realistic, in fact. But going on, China, I think, believes that we are probably a divided and weak country at this point, so they can manipulate us a bit. But I think these comments are, you know, from a desperate, weak government and sloppy.
Okay. Thank you for that, John.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to be wrapping up this segment. Chuck Kwan, what would you like to leave us with on this?
I agree with the last caller. I believe that we do have to stand up, and this McCollum comment does not help. Although I understand where they're coming from, but I think the Chinese know enough that, you know, what we want to do. They're just putting on a very public fight with Canada as a warning to the other nations in the world. So in that sense, you know, I think one thing our government is doing right now is rallying support from other Western countries, and I think that's the right thing to do.
Okay, yes, they are definitely trying to make an example of us. Well, we will, of course, keep following this saga as it continues, and let's hope it does not continue too long. Chuck Kwan, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to 1.